The comeback kid rides again. John McCain scored his second victory in the race for the White House Saturday, winning South Carolina's Republican primary.
You know, it took us a while, but what's 8 years among friends, huh?
McCain narrowly beat out Mike Huckabee 33-30% in the state where his presidential hopes were dashed back in 2000. Further west in the GOP camp, Mitt Romney won Nevada's barely contested Republican caucus by a landslide, in part thanks to that state's heavy Mormon population. But Nevada's Democratic caucus wasn't winner-take-all. Hillary Clinton walked away with 51% of the popular vote, but Barack Obama cashed in with 13 Democratic convention delegates over Clinton's 12. In a press conference after the win, Clinton called for a little perspective on the race.
You know, this is about delegates, but it's also about, what people are voting for and who they think the best president will be.
Now, both Democratic and GOP candidates have a couple more shots to make a splash before Super Duper Tuesday on February 5th, when more than 20 states hold their primaries. For the Democrats, it's the South Carolina primaries coming up this Saturday, and the Republicans will battle for Florida on January 29th. Joining us now to give the BPP Political 411 is Jim VandeHeide, co-founder of Politico.com. Hey, Jim.
Morning.
Good morning. First, I'm going to have you do a little bit of a primer for us, a little explainer. Let's start with the Democrats in Nevada. Hillary got the most votes from the people who showed up to caucus. Obama ended up with more delegates. How'd that happen?
Well, Lord forbid we have an easy voting process in the United States. And to make things complicated, in the caucus in Nevada, there are actually the caucus sites that are weighted more heavily than other caucus sites. So you're able to have an outcome where you end up with Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote, but Barack Obama winning the delegate count. Go figure. The Democrats in general have a fairly complex way of deciding their nominee. I think everyone thinks, you vote, someone wins a state, they win enough states, mm-hmm. next thing you know, they're the nominee. It's much more complicated than that because a lot of states either have caucuses or primaries, and then they actually divvy up those delegates based on, you hit a certain threshold of a vote, and then you get a certain proportion based on the percentage of vote that you get. So it's very complicated, and it's the reason that a lot of Democrats think this race could go on and on and on, and potentially all the way to the convention, because you have to have a majority of all of the delegates. And because Edwards has stayed in there and picked up enough delegates by hitting that threshold, which is usually 15% in a lot of these states, he could actually end up being a kingmaker and be in a position where he could throw his delegates to, say, Barack Obama to put him over the top. So I think we'll have lots to talk about for some time on this.
It's so interesting because this race is so close, it allows us to have conversations about really the process, because the process matters so much.
Well, it does. And I mean, think about just the things we could have talked about this month alone. I mean, not only does Nevada have this screwy process, but Michigan and Florida both went and tried to move their primaries up quicker than the national party wanted. So the national party said, guess what? Your delegates don't count. So if you're a Democratic voter in Florida or a Democratic voter in Michigan, might as well not even have voted, because it doesn't matter, because they're not going to seat those delegates because the national party wants to have control over the nominating process. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that one of the things that's going to come from this year is hopefully, finally, people will come to their senses and create a nomination process that actually makes sense to the American people.
I want to move over to John McCain. With wins in South Carolina and New Hampshire, McCain has two major victories under his belt. He's leading Florida polls. If you could get inside John McCain's head, Jim, what's going on in there? Does he have anything to be worried about?
He certainly does. I mean, he knows what that big fear is. The thing that probably bedevils him is, can I actually win Republican votes? Most of both South Carolina and New Hampshire, where he did really well, he was able to pull in independent votes. And quite frankly, he did that in Michigan, too. Well, now you move to Florida, where only Republicans are allowed in the process. And there's a lot of other states, like California and others going forward, that have the exact same rules. Well, now he's going to have to show that he can win Republican enthusiasts, sort of the rank and file. And most of the exit polling and entrance polling so far has showed that Mitt Romney does better with the rank and file, or Mike Huckabee does better with the rank and file. So he's going to have to go into Florida and say, listen, yes, you disagree with me on campaign finance reform. You disagree with me on my opposition to some of the Bush tax cuts. But I am the most electable candidate, and I've proven that because I picked up independents in the three states Jim just mentioned. And And I'm the guy who, because of my position on Iraq, I can be the guy who can say I can keep America safe. I think that that's a pretty compelling argument to some Republicans, but do not underestimate the level of hatred some Republicans have for him.
Indeed. Jim, don't go away. We're going to carry this conversation over the break. Stay with us. We're talking to Politico.com's Jim Vandehei. We're talking politics. You're listening to the BPP. Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're talking to Jim Vandehei of Politico.com. We're talking politics. We're talking about the Republican candidates for president. And, you know, we haven't heard from Rudy Giuliani much. He's kind of put all of his eggs into the basket that is Florida. Yesterday on ABC's This Week, George Stephanopoulos asked Rudy Giuliani about his near flatlining in other recent GOP primaries. Let's listen.
You weren't even in the game yesterday. Sixth in Nevada, sixth in South Carolina. Ron Paul beat you twice. How do you spin that?
We're concentrating on Florida. We've been here for 2 weeks. We've been campaigning here, not quite full time, but just about full time for 2 weeks. We decided some time back that this is the place where we should put our most emphasis, that it worked our strengths and weaknesses the best, and now we're ready for it.
Jim, is this a good strategy? Could a win in Florida give him what he needs to be competitive?
If you're running for governor of Florida, come on, there's been elections in four or five other states, and the guy hasn't even participated in them. Ron Paul whooped him in the last two contests. It's plausible that he pulls off a victory in Florida, and all of a sudden people start to rethink Rudy Giuliani, and it would be truly one of the most stunning comebacks in political history, because this guy was leading in national polls. He had more money than anybody else. The guy was a rock star, and next thing you know, he's vacationing in Florida while everyone else is competing in all these other states. So everything now rides on Florida, and most of the polls show that things are tightening, and all the things that they should have anticipated are coming to life. You've got to know that when you're not competing in these other states, you don't get any of the media attention. You don't get any of the attention from the people that are giving money. So he's got to figure out a way to pull off Florida and pull it off quickly, or I can't imagine that he'd stick around too much longer.
Well, the plot thickens. There will be another debate tonight. Clinton, Obama, and Edwards will face off in South Carolina. We'll stay tuned to see what Edwards can do in the state of his birth. And I could not let you go without giving you my condolences on the most significant race of the weekend, the Packers.
That's why I have a hoarse voice. It was wrong.
Sorry.
You know, like, meet somebody when you're young. Like, I just thought this was meant to be. I thought the Packer victory was meant to be. It was ordained. I was almost certain that God is a Packer fan.
I'm sorry.
And now I have to rethink my whole existence.
Oh, Jim.
Well, good luck with that, Jim. Rethinking your whole existence.
Good luck. Report back.
I still have your
knock yourself out.
Thanks, Jim Vandehei, Politico.com. We'll talk to you next time, Jim.
Bye.
So,